Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, I hope you all know that I'm never going to read the scriptures the same again. Right before our scripture this morning, it has Jesus forgiving and healing a paralyzed man. At the first of chapter 9, it says, Jesus stepped onto a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. All right, pilgrims with me, do you have the same image in my head of being on a boat? And the realization that we got to see why he was constantly taking a boat everywhere, because it was a much quicker journey to cut across the lake than have to go all the way around to get places. So he was lucky to have this transportation. And so that's in my head. So my life has ever changed, just so you all know. But my life was changed when God created it, right? And, you know, I read in scriptures how it talks about God being the potter and we are the clay. And in high school, I took ceramics, and I enjoyed taking ceramics, and I enjoyed doing the pottery on the wheel, where you take this lump of clay and you slap it down onto your plastic board, and then you start that machine, and it's like magically, all of a sudden, instead of this lump of clay, it starts becoming a bowl or a mug or a pitcher or a vase. And it's like, it makes you feel like I have magic hands because I just made something beautiful and useful out of this lump of clay. And then it goes into the kiln, and it comes out, and you get to paint it, and it goes back into the kiln, and then it comes out, and not only is it useful, but it's beautiful. And God did this with us. He shaped us and formed us, and he made us beautiful. And here's our life that we have, and I see all these beautiful artistic pieces of artwork that God has done in all of these vessels. But one of the things I also learned is how fragile those vessels are. You get one little air bubble in it, and it comes out of the kiln broken or cracked, or some of them even exploded within it. But you also know once it's been fired and made beautiful that it comes out and is very fragile, that it can get cracked or broken very easily. Well, I know that about my life. That I am this vessel that God has made, and God made me to be useful, but I also know how fragile I am and how easily I can be damaged. And so I was preparing for this scripture and being the Holy Land with it, I was thinking about my vulnerabilities and thinking of the ways that I've been damaged and broken. And I know how often you all hear me talk about my singing, that I don't sing, that I don't sing publicly, that I don't sing for people to hear. And people always want to know why I say these things, why I make such a big deal about it, why it is that I don't let my singing voice be heard. And you know, it wasn't always that way, because I was once that innocent living in the Garden of Eden when it came to singing. I sang in the cherub choir at church, and I sang in the children's choir at church, and I sang in the choir at my elementary school, and every so often I even got picked to do a solo at church, which was a really big deal because my church growing up, they would videotape the first service, and then it would play through the week on the cable cast channel. And so you sing a solo or you speak in church, and all of a sudden your neighbors go, "Hey, I saw you on TV this week." And so you would think it would make you apprehensive, but it was like, hey, they heard me sing on TV. And I was okay with that. Until one day I was sitting at a campfire with my friends at camp. And camp is one of the most incredible things in my life that's made me who I am. But there's this one moment at camp, and we were at campfire at the end of the day, and we were singing, and I was singing loud and proud with my friends because that's what I did. I loved singing to God. I loved giving praise. I loved the fun in it. I loved the holiness in it. Until one night, here we are singing, and I'm singing with them, and I hear a boy behind me laughing. And I figured out that he was laughing at me. And I closed my mouth, and I stopped singing. And ever since then, I've not wanted to sing where people could hear me. Why? Because in that moment, his laughter and his words put this huge crack in my vessel. And I became broken. I was damaged by his words. And no matter how many words can be spoken, it's okay, you sing okay. All I hear is that laughing. All I know is that crack that I feel that makes me insecure. Have you ever had one of those moments where somebody's words literally just put a crack in you and damaged you or broke you in such a way? Maybe it wasn't words, maybe it was actions. Maybe it was something that they did. So here we are, this vessel, and all of a sudden here we are, broken and damaged. And it can happen by words, but it can also happen in so many other ways. I've seen how those cracks and breaks can come through shame. I've never felt so much shame as I have over the last 4 years. I've never felt so much shame as every time I'm having a conversation with somebody and I all of a sudden find myself shrinking and have to say, no, I'm separated. No, I'm going through divorce. And feel shamed that this person is having to hear this. Feeling shamed that I've had to put my kids through this, my family through this. Knowing it's not because I did something wrong, but because of life situation, that's what needed to be best for me and for my kids and for Pastor Doug. But to say that, to live that, I feel shame even though I shouldn't. And I feel that crack every time I have to say that. Every time I hear the words, well, your husband, and I feel me getting so small. Do you have any of those? Where in your life you feel less than you should, and you feel that crack. Maybe it comes from shame. Maybe it comes from feeling imperfections in your life, or failures, or ways that you didn't live up to the expectations that were put on you by yourself or someone else. It's all just cracks in the vessel of our life, right? Sometimes it's through mistakes. Sometimes it's through our sins or our slipping. Sometimes those cracks are because we've been the one hurting or damaging someone else. All these cracks, all these breaks, all these fissures in us, it's our imperfections. But guess what? It's what makes us human. God didn't create us to be perfect. God created us to be fragile, and God knew we would have these cracks. But we have good news, and it comes through our story this morning. Because Matthew is one of these vessels. Matthew is a vessel just like you and I. Matthew had been shaped and formed by God and made with a purpose. But Matthew took on this life of being a tax collector. We don't know why he chose this profession. We don't know why he chose this life. But what we know is tax collectors were not considered good people because they cheated people. They took advantage of them. They took their hard-earned money from them and put it in their pockets. So they weren't considered good people. And they were considered sinners. And they were considered somebody that a good person doesn't hang out with. So here's Matthew, this broken vessel, this imperfect person, and Jesus comes along into his life, and he sees him as he is. He sees him with all of his cracks, all of his breaks, all of his fissures, all of his chips. He sees it, and most people would just keep walking. And Jesus looks at him, and he just has two words for him. Just two words. Follow me. Not, hey, you sinner. Not, I know who you are and what you do. But follow me. It's that invitation that Jesus gives to each and every one of us. Did you know that Jesus has looked at each and every one of us in our brokenness and in our imperfections, and with no asterisks, no stipulations, no ifs, ands, or buts, he said, follow me. And Matthew doesn't question. Matthew doesn't say, but I'm, he gets up and he follows. He has the trust in Jesus and the obedience, and he leaves his tax collecting table and follows Jesus. And where does he follow him? But the first place they go is the dinner table at Matthew's house. I don't know about you, but I don't eat with just anybody. I don't invite just anybody to come eat at my table. I've only got so many meals in a day and only so many meals in a year and so many seats to fill. And I'm going to work on filling those seats with the people I care about, the people that uplift me, the people that are walking with me, that give me joy and love. These are the people I want to sit with. These are the people I want to fill my table with. The ones that I want to take the picture with and say, I want to remember this meal because of who I ate with. And you know how many people would have given their right arm to eat a meal with Jesus? And in his 3 years, he only had so many meals and so many seats to fill at his table. And who does he pick? But he picks a tax collector to eat with. And when you read in the scriptures, it's not just a tax collector, but he fills the table with tax collectors and sinners. And people see this and they say, they're unworthy, Jesus. These are the broken ones. These are the ones that aren't useful. These are the ones that are hurting people. These are the ones that are the cheats and the thieves. How dare you fill your table with them when you can fill your table with us, the righteous, the ones that are living right, the ones that are making the good decisions, the ones that aren't doing these bad things. But Jesus has the best response ever. He says, I see you. I see that you're all together. I see you know what you're doing, that you've got it, that your brokenness is not holding you back. And you get to be that beautiful vase on the shelf that everybody can see and admire and look up to. He says, but because you are whole, you don't need my help right now. But these are the broken ones. These are the ones with the cracks that make the water go flowing out of them. These are the ones that need me. These are the ones that need to eat with me so I can fill those cracks with my presence and my love and my grace. These are the ones I need to put back together so they can feel wholeness like you. Jesus says, that's who I was sent for. And I read this and I realize, me in my brokenness, me with my imperfections, me with my hurts that holds me back from singing, me with my cracks of shame, me every time I feel less than human, me every time I feel the guilt and the weight of the mistakes that I've made. I can look in this and I can see, but me and those imperfections gets invited to Jesus' table, gets invited to the table to be healed and made whole. Wow, what a gift. We talk about good news, isn't that the good news? That Jesus came when we were in our brokenness. Jesus came when we were in our imperfections and came not for those with it all together, but came for us in our brokenness. But then I realize he came to take us from broken to beautiful. And I know he did that with Matthew. Why? Because he tells us beautiful are those who bring good news. And what did Matthew do? Matthew walked away from his tax collector table and became a disciple of Jesus. And what was his primary task as a disciple? Was to help Jesus share the good news. Sharing the good news was what made him beautiful. And Jesus desires to take us from broken to beautiful, to to allow him to heal our hurts, to make us whole, so that we can be vessels of his good news, a vessel that's intended to be filled by his good news, a vessel that's intended to live his good news, a vessel that's intended to share his good news, a vessel that's intended to be overflowing with his love and with his grace and with his mercy and with his compassion. Because there's enough of it that it fills us and it spills over so that it can wet the feet of those around us. And isn't that beautiful? To think of yourself as a vessel overflowing with Christ's love, so much so it wets the feet of those around you. My friends, I pray God's blessings upon you this moment. That if you feel any of that brokenness, if you feel the chips in your life, if you feel the hurts of the world upon you, if you feel those cracks of the hurt for our world that's so broken, if you feel the hurts of not living quite up to the life that you had expected, I pray in this place that you will hear your Savior calling, that you will hear him calling you to follow him and to sit at his table, so he can begin the healing process. And then I pray in that healing process that you can feel your life being filled by him to overflowing. May the Holy Spirit be upon you, living in you and with you, Christ's presence always. Amen.